From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, December 3rd, 2025. Decorated Army veteran Charles Norman Shea, who had 19 saved lives at Omaha Beach on D-Day, has died. A citizen of the Penobscot Nation who was raised in Old Town, Shea was known for his heroic work as an Army medic and as one of the first indigenous soldiers from the area to share his experiences. Caitlin Badayan reports.
Born in Bristol, Connecticut, Charles Norman Shea grew up on the Indian Island Reservation and was one of the first children from the reservation to attend school across the river in Old Town. After the United States joined World War II, Shea was drafted into the Army. He was trained as a medic and transferred to the 16th Infantry Regiment, one of the three combat regiments of the 1st Infantry Division that spearheaded the Normandy invasion, known as D-Day. In an interview with Maine Public in 2007, Shea recalls coming out of the water onto Omaha Beach on June 6, 1944, and racing to an embankment for cover.
When I got to the embankment, of course, being a medic, I assisted. I started treating the wounded that had made it to the embankment, binding up their wounds and so forth. It was just a reaction that I had to go and help them.
Shea was later awarded the Silver Star for going back into the water during the Normandy invasion to pull injured soldiers to shore, saving them from drowning.
I don't know how I ever did it, and I pulled several men up out of the water and to the safety of out of the water to the beach. I did what I could for them. I don't know where my strength came from, but I was able to save several lives.
Shea would later become one of the first Indigenous soldiers to talk about his experiences in battle, says Harold Prince. Prince is the co-author of From Indian Island to Omaha Beach, the D-Day Story of Charles Shea. He was a guest on Maine Calling last year.
Most people, when they go to American Indian reservations, they want to know about moccasins, tribal dances, shamans, you name it. But they don't really think about the fact that many of these Native Americans have traveled all across the world and fought across the world.
Shea re-enlisted after World War II and was stationed in Austria and later deployed in Korea before he retired in 1954. He returned to Maine in 2003, shortly before the death of his wife. He was awarded France's highest award, the Legion of Honor, in 2007 and moved to the Normandy region of France in 2018, where he lived until his death Wednesday. On Maine Calling last year, Penobscot Nation Chief Kirk Francis said Shea is held in high esteem by his community.
I'm just proud of the ambassador that he is and the example he sets for people and how people look at Indian people in general. That's a guy that should be emulated.
A post on Shea's Instagram page says he died peacefully, surrounded by family. He was 101. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badayan.
After President Donald Trump called Somali immigrants, quote, garbage this week, some in Maine's Somali community fear the rhetoric could spark violence. Ari Snyder has more.
During a cabinet meeting Tuesday, Trump said he doesn't want Somali immigrants to be in the U.S. at all. It comes as immigration agents are launching an operation in Minnesota, reportedly targeting the state's large Somali population. In Lewiston, Somali interpreter and nonprofit director Ifra Said Issa says the president's attacks are jarring.
I find it very hard to believe that a president who is supposed to represent everybody, all the people in the United States, to target a group of very vulnerable population here in America.
She says many in the community worry it could incite violence or harassment against Somali residents. Sophia Khalid, who served as the first Somali-American on the Lewiston City Council, said in a social media post that she was, quote, deeply offended and disgusted by the president's attacks and called on state and local elected leaders to stand up for their Somali constituents. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Hundreds of high school students and their supporters poured into downtown Portland Wednesday to protest the Trump administration's immigration enforcement policies. Addressing the raucous crowd outside City Hall, Waynefleet Jr. Omari Brandt urged his fellow students to continue fighting for the future they want to see.
I know that hope remains, and I see it in spaces such as this, in organization, in resistance, and in advocacy. This event was born from the collective anger of Portland students, but it was made possible by the collective excitement of our community at the thought of change occurring.
Other speakers called for the release of a Congolese family from Portland currently in ICE detention in Texas after trying to seek asylum in Canada. Student organizers say they want state and local leaders, as well as school administrators, to support stronger protections for immigrant students. The Trump administration is once again threatening to reduce federal food assistance funding to some left-leaning states, including Maine. It's the latest salvo in a long fight over the White House's push for detailed personal information about food stamp recipients. Kevin Miller explains.
Ever since the summer, a group of about 20 states, including Maine, have been fighting Trump administration demands for the names, addresses, birth dates, and social security numbers of all participants in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The administration says the data is needed to root out fraud, but the states portray it as an illegal and unprecedented attempt to compile troves of sensitive information on millions of Americans. A federal judge temporarily blocked the Trump administration in September. But USDA officials said this week that the agency will soon begin withholding administrative reimbursements to non-compliant states. Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree estimates that would cost Maine about $13 million.
I think it's outrageous that this administration continues to go after food for hungry people. We saw them do it during the shutdown when the money was there in the account and they refused to send it out to the states. Fought it in the courts. 2 weeks ago, they said they were going to require everyone to reapply, which would have been an administrative nightmare, and then they dropped that.
In a statement, the governor's office said Governor Janet Mills and Attorney General Aaron Fry will, quote, stand in the way of this cruel and callous attempt by President Trump to cause Maine people to go hungry. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
A member of the Lewiston School Committee, who is also a city councilor-elect, has been indicted by an Androscoggin County court on charges of theft. As Michael Livingston reports, Iman Osman has previously come under public scrutiny for his legal address.
According to court documents obtained by the Lewiston Sun-Journal, the charges against Osman stem from the alleged theft of two firearms. The executive director of the Lewiston Auburn Youth Network, Osman was nominated to the school committee last year. He won the race for Ward 5 city councilor in November. But in recent weeks, Osman has faced criticism over his legal address listed at a building that was labeled condemned in October 2024 after it was raided by local police. A motion to investigate the address was voted down in the school committee's November 24th meeting. City officials have said Osman meets residency requirements under state law. In a statement, Lewiston Mayor Carl Schelin said he's deeply concerned about the circumstances surrounding the indictment. Osman's attorney could not immediately be reached for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
The City of Portland is partnering with the Gulf of Maine Research Institute to prepare for the effects of climate change. As Molly Anking reports, the City Council and the research organization will share data and collaborate on climate resiliency strategies to fight sea level rise and increase electrification.
Mayor Mark Dion announced the formal partnership Wednesday on a recently renovated wharf, where GMRI raised the bulkhead wall by 1.5 feet to protect against sea level rise and future storms. As part of the partnership, GMRI also installed 10 new public EV chargers in their lot on Commercial Street and piloted the first public electric boat charger. Dion says that accurate data is essential for driving policy decisions around climate change.
They're scientists. I'm not. They can collect data and give an opinion about what kind of policy initiations we can consider as a city council.
GMRI also created an educational walking tour as part of the collaboration. Scannable signs throughout the city highlight how Portland is tackling climate change, including markers that show where sea level rise may be by the year 2100. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
A 5.5-square-mile parcel of privately owned, ecologically diverse land in western Maine's High Peaks region on the south branch of the Dead River has been permanently protected. The Trust for Public Land says the conservation easement on the South Branch Forest was secured in partnership with the state of Maine, the Navy, the U.S. Forest Service, and a number of foundations. Gene Lefevre, a real estate developer from Philadelphia, owns the property. He says he canoed the dead as a camper 60 years ago and is a self-described tree hugger at heart.
I was sitting there during the COVID and thinking about how dirty our land, our world had become, and how the air was not getting enough oxygen. We're getting more and more carbon dioxide. And I thought, well, hell, if I buy trees, I can make sure that I can breathe.
The new preserve, which contains undeveloped lakes, ponds, mature forests, and wildlife, will be managed for public recreation and to support the state's climate action goals. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz for Morning Edition tomorrow, starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.